Okay, well, there's not much that's certain about the image licensing business, but one thing is certain, I believe, and that's that the way that we license images today is not the way that we're going to be licensing images in 5 years, and certainly in 10 years, the way we're licensing images today is going to be irrelevant. And so part of the challenge on the IPTC Photo Metadata Working Group, part of the challenge for us is to anticipate what's coming, not only to listen to the needs of all the stakeholders and try and apply or create new metadata properties and controlled vocabularies that work today, but what's coming tomorrow. And certainly for those of you who are engaged in creating systems to manage assets and manage metadata, by the time you're done creating those systems, they might be approaching irrelevance. So, you know, especially when it comes to rights and specifically to reducing the friction in the transaction, in rights transactions, we need to pay very close attention. And I know that you all are, or you wouldn't be here today. There are a number of people in the room who are very forward-thinking and looking at ways that images can be licensed in the future, ways to carve out a sustainable path for the image licensing industry and their clients. You know, my presentation is not so much about PLUS today. Certainly I'll mention PLUS. When Annette Feldman on the IPTC Photo Metadata Working Group brought up some of the issues that she talked about earlier, it all really struck a chord with me. And so when she was talking today, I was just making notes to myself, and I wanted to be able to respond to some of the questions and challenges that she posed in the course of my presentation instead of dedicating my whole presentation to just talking about PLUS, which I've done previously here. So certainly I agree with Annette that rights metadata, rights are the key, actually. And it's what we sell. We're not selling images. When I say we, I'm speaking in the context of this Congress. You know, at PLUS, I represent the client side and the creator side and the distributors. In fact, most of the governance of PLUS, many of the participants around the world are all the image user side, the publishers, the ad agencies, the design firms, et cetera. And that's who we listen to in addition to the creators and rights holders. But, you know, what they want to know, as Annette said, was what rights are available, what restrictions are there, just in general. They also want to know, do we already have rights to this? Because people are sitting in these corporations in a cubicle not knowing that somebody from their Taiwan office already licensed sufficient rights for the whole corporation to make unlimited use or near unlimited use of an image. They have no way of knowing that because they have no way of effectively managing or controlling the rights. So they want to know, as Annette said, can we use it? And when I say they, it could be a human or a machine asking that question, and increasingly it's going to be machines asking that question. Can this image be displayed? For how long? On what domains? That question needs to be able to be answered by metadata, and the machines that are reading that metadata need to be able to read that information, make a decision about what can and can't be done with that image without human involvement. That is the future of image licensing and image use. It's going to be happening at an increasingly faster pace at scale, with requirements for management way beyond what we can handle using traditional methods. And at PLUS, we're fortunate to have a lot of the newcomers in the industry with new licensing methods constantly approaching and asking for information about how to communicate rights and, you know, past methods of licensing and future possibilities for licensing, and coming with their own ideas, perhaps coming out of other industries like the music industry, etc. It's very interesting to see, and those people are all going to come in to the image licensing industries, and things are most certainly going to change. Annette mentioned redundancy and conflict and the evolving schemas, you know, and that's just a natural effect of practices evolving. And the IPTC on the Photo Metadata Working Group looking at evolving practices and trying to accommodate them. When people come forward and say, well, I'm trying to do this, but I can't do it without this property, and if there's enough of those people on the working group, we add that property. And the unfortunate circumstance is on the user side, meaning the users of metadata, whether that's the licensors or the licensees or whoever, systems are going to need to evolve with that and find an efficient way to bring in new properties and to determine whether or not those properties have business value in their transactions, and that will determine whether or not they're going to be using those properties. As for redundant and conflicting properties, as Ned also mentioned, most of the organizations kind of in the metadata sphere are working together to avoid that kind of thing. IPTC and PLUS, we worked very closely together on developing the PLUS standards for expression of rights, and in fact, we made big spreadsheets, just like Sarah makes, unfortunately huge spreadsheets, comparing, you know, here's all the fields that are available, here's where we have conflicts, here's where we have duplication, here's where other fields already exist, let's just adopt those, and let's avoid these other ones that might result in conflict or misunderstanding. That's really the way it needs to be done. In fact, very close collaboration is a necessity there. And eventually that's how IPTC ended up adopting many of the PLUS rights fields. As for Annette's question as to which properties must be populated, that is a decision that has to be made at the organizational level. Which of those properties bring value to your company in your transactions, bring value to your customers? And I would put the customers first and define value by how it's perceived by the customers. And then you have the question of internal metadata versus customer-facing metadata. And that's very difficult when you're talking about embedded metadata because they're going to see it all if it's in the image. And really the only way to get around that is to incorporate some kind of URI into the metadata that can be used to resolve to metadata that's stored internally so that everybody in your organization and all of your contractors who are entitled to see the information can get access to that internal metadata versus the metadata that your customers see. So the next question is, are we in the metadata business? And I would put it this way. In the image business, we sell rights. We're not selling images, we're selling rights. Rights are metadata. Right information is metadata. Therefore, we are in the metadata business. And there's really no way around that. And the sooner that we can accept that and actually embrace that, the faster we can move our industry ahead and be prepared to leverage technology to the fullest to advance our industry, to increase profitability, to decrease liability, all of those things. As an agency, as Annette mentioned, you have inbound metadata from your suppliers, and then you have outbound metadata to your customers. That inbound metadata, to control it, you have really two choices. You can require your providers to adhere to a metadata profile that you publish and insist upon. Getting some feedback there. Let me try this. Got it? You can require your suppliers to adhere to profiles that you establish, and you just don't accept images that don't adhere to that profile. But that doesn't work with the guy with the iPhone, you know, which is increasingly a significant source of images. And so that's not really the answer to that. The other answer, of course, is to map inbound information into your own metadata profile that you use to manage your images. And there's really only those two choices as far as I know. But I do know that the outbound data to your customers has to be readily accessible. It has to be current. And I'm talking about the rights information especially. It has to be accurate. It has to be sufficient for them to be able to make informed decisions about using the work. It has to be not just machine readable, but when it comes to rights, it needs to be machine interpretable. In other words, the machine can't just read it and display a value. It has to be able to read it, determine whether the image can be used, and help humans or other machines to decide whether or not it can be used. It has to work at scale, and it has to be enable full automation. Here's the problem with embedded metadata. So, and this is just specific to rights information. So when you embed rights information into an image, let's put it this way, the rights information is not static. It changes over time. You might license an image to a customer. They might reapproach you and license the image again for different rights. Well, they've already got the image file. They don't want another image file from you. The image file, if it has embedded metadata that has a rights statement in it, it's out of date. They're relicensing it, or it has expired, et cetera. So this idea of embedded metadata and rights statements have never really synced up, but we haven't really had any other option. As Annette mentioned, rights change over time. There's different rights for different regions. Rights can vary by transaction, and as I just mentioned, even with the same customer, transaction by transaction, same image, different rights. The metadata statement is then out of date. So embedded metadata is ill-suited for dealing with rights. It has never worked well. It will never work well. It's just the way that we've been able to do it thus far. Remotely stored rights metadata, for which you use a persistent, unique identifier to access this information, is really the only viable solution for the future, actually for now and in the future, to manage metadata and to access it. It's current, it's accurate, it's complete, it's readily accessible, it's machine and human readable. You're not confined by the constraints of, for example, of XMP. You also get to control who gets to get access to it. You can say, well, everybody can have access to this metadata, but only my client can have access to these three fields. You can say only internally we can have access to these 10 fields, et cetera. So it has clear advantages, and I think that it is the way that it's the way the music industry has gone, it's the way other industries have gone, and it's the way the photography industry is going to go, even if it has to drag us all kicking and screaming, and certainly Plus is going in that direction. And we can see that other organizations like the Copyright Hub are also thinking in that way. Responsibility. We certainly have, as image licensors, no legal responsibility to ensure that our clients have ready access to our rights information. And in fact, most companies in this industry wash their hands at the time that the customer downloads the image. Here's this ticking time bomb. Take it, use it, make sure you don't use it beyond the license that we've sent you by a PDF or in an email. We know that you're going to be fired or you're going to leave the company and nobody else is going to know how you can and can't use the image, but here you go. That's the way it's done in the industry today by the vast majority of the licensors. It's my belief that that's quite unfair to customers. It's quite limiting on our industry. It drives a lot of the demand for very broad rights. I think that we have a professional responsibility, if not a legal responsibility, to make sure that our clients have access to that information. A happy customer is a customer with ready access to metadata, among other things, especially rights metadata. And we need to be thinking about customer ROI in addition to our ROI. And this customer ROI will drive our ROI, most certainly. That means automated rights management at scale. That means monetization of licenses. That means decreasing liability. That means increasing our customer ROI. That'll make them happy. I would say very happy. So what we've done at Plus, in wrapping up here, is just bring everybody to the table to talk about the rights equation. And as you know, we started this a long time ago, proceeding toward being able to develop a global system for linking all databases and all registries of works. We had to first create a language to do that. So instead of doing it as just the photographers or just the illustrators or just the picture libraries, we invited everybody to the table, created a coalition, and set about building things so that the customers have equal ownership and control over the work product of the coalition. Therefore, the customers would like to use what they've created and what they feel that they own. And that's been the key component to Plus and why we actually still exist to this day. So control over the standards, control over the identifiers, control over the registry all rest with a nonprofit. And that's not to say that it must be that there can't be multiple registries, some for-profit, some nonprofit, some run by stock agencies, some run by governments. You know, the world is the oyster in terms of that. But there do need to be some registries, or at least one registry that's controlled and owned by its users and operated on a nonprofit and cost recovery basis that can't be purchased by a major stakeholder, or you could end up with a registry system that is owned by one of the players. With At Plus, collaboration is the key for us. You know, there are a lot of people in the room involved in these various initiatives. Certainly, we're collaborating closely with IPTC, and we always have. As you heard earlier, we're collaborating with the Copyright Hub. Even from before the Copyright Hub was created, we were collaborating with the UK Intellectual Property Office on the creation, the initial ideas that led to the Copyright Hub. I'm one of the directors of the Leaked Content Coalition, along with some others in this room. We're participating in the Rights Data Integration Project and some of the other projects and partners and collaborators that you see on the screen. And that is really the spirit of PLUS. It's an open door. It's as transparent as we can possibly make it. Anybody can contribute and bring your ideas. It's also, as was mentioned earlier, a worldwide initiative. You can't have a local solution to a global problem. Just as Dominic said earlier, it has to be a global solution. We've got participants now from 154 countries, and these are just from the EU nation states. Now we've got every one of them, that's all of them, finally participating in PLUS. We're in the process of revising our rights model. You don't have to understand this necessarily, but it's much more extensible and will allow for much greater flexibility when you next see it. The initial PLUS rights model, which is called the licensed data format, was limited in scope because we had to get it out. We needed to get a standard out the door. It had to be for embedded metadata only, and I think we did a pretty good job of doing that. And now we're expanding the scope to be more flexible. Lastly, plusregistry.org, check it out. Over the next several months, you'll be hearing from us. If you sign up at the website, we'll keep you informed as to the progress. And that's it.